Monday, the 21st of December, Dalet Teves, Rabbi Pesach Krohn, It's All in the Name. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by Shire Associates in celebration of the 75th anniversary of the Golders Green Beis HaMedrash Congregation.
It is a very great kavod to have been asked again to come back here to Torah Way. I must tell you that I think that this institution of Torah Way, both here in London and in Manchester, is one of the greatest institutions that Klal Yisrael has. One of my goals in life is to be able to start this in America. Hopefully I'll be able to. Before we start, there are just a few people that I owe Hakaras HaTayiv. First and foremost, my dear friend Dudi Itzkowitz, who arranged this for me this morning, who came to pick me up at the airport as the most wonderful host. The hamburgers, of course. Gerald Lewin, who brought me in for the 75th anniversary of Rav Monk's Shul, as we call it. And, of course, for Ruth Collins. Some of you don't know Ruth Collins, but Ruth Collins is that phenomenal artist in Manchester who makes the magnificent Torah Way posters that are really legendary. And believe it or not, I get them every single week just to look at the beautiful graphics. A number of years ago, in 1976, there was a watershed event that happened in Klal Yisrael. That was the year that the first Art Scroll publication came through to Klal Yisrael. My dear friend, Rav Meir Zlotowitz, who had a friend called Meir Fogel, who passed away, Nebuch young, he was married, had no children, and if you will look in the introduction of the Art Scroll, Megillas Esther, you will see that it was dedicated to Zeichan Nishmasai, and from there, when Klal Yisrael just was so begeistered, so overwhelmed by what they had published, that began where they started writing many, many different things on Klal Yisrael. It started with the Chumash Megillas. I had known Rav Meir Zlotowitz from camp. He's a few years older than I am. I always looked up to him, and I had offered to write for him. One of the things that I wanted to write was Kehelas, and he said that they were going to do that in-house, but anything else that I wanted to write, that they would edit it and eventually publish it. I had a few ideas. Nothing worked, and then it just didn't come to fruition. But then it occurred to me, when they started writing on different topics, that I would write on Bris Milah. And I presented the idea to them, and they said, give us a chapter, and if it's acceptable, then you'll be the man to do the job. And my mother, La Shalom, and I were very, very close. She was a great writer, and I said, Ma, we've got to do this. I want to do this for two reasons. One, because then I'll be known as the Moyle who wrote the book. You know, that would be wonderful. And second of all, it would be a machayev to know the topic very, very thoroughly. If you're writing a book or L'Havdala Sefer on a topic, you really have to know it very well. And so I presented a chapter. My mother and I presented a chapter, and they accepted it. I'll never forget Rav Nelson Sherman, when he took my name and he put it in his address book and he put it into his pocket at one of the art school dinners, I said my name was close to his heart, and it was very, very special because I admire those two, the tremendous chusin that both of them have together with this fellow Shia Brander, who makes the graphics and produces it with Ellie Krohn. Just incredible. But they told me that this was their directive. You have no deadline, but you must write a book on Bris Milah. It has to be so authoritative, and it has to be so inclusive that nobody in his right mind will even dream to write another book in English on Bris Milah for the next 20 years. And it's more than 20 years already, and still nobody has written a book on it. So hopefully I was able to fulfill that that goal. By the way, I see my dear friend Dov Harris on the side, that humble man, but I wanted to thank him as well for all his hospitality and his friendship. So they told me it has to be an all-inclusive book. And one of the things that I decided to do was to be markup to write about the Inyan of Eight and to write about the Sandik, the significance of the Bris, Sfardishim and Hogim, Ashkenazishim and Hogim. And then I came to write about names. Now, every Moyel, Dr. Harris as well, anybody can tell you that every Moyel has the opportunity to listen to arguments in families about what names should have been given, could have been given, and would have been given. And the Moyel has a great influence on people, especially non-frum people. You can't believe how many non-frum people in America are named Pesach because they were looking for a name with a P, you know? And so I began writing on names, and then when I saw this thing that I'm about to share with you, it absolutely changed my whole attitude, and this became my favorite part of the Bris Milah Sefer that was produced for and by Art Scroll. And this showed me how important the idea of names are. And this is written in, say, in Parshas Bamidbar by the Rebbe Rav Elimelech, and he writes like this, that when you name a child after someone, you make a connection between the neshama of the person who carried the name and the neshama of the child who will now bear this name. In other words, the name is so important, as the Gemara teaches us, Shemo Garim, your name has an influence, that we name only after Mazel Dika people. Nobody's named Esav, nobody's named Kairach, and even Rabbi Chananel has to ask the question, how could anybody have been named Rabbi Yishmael? And after all, Yishmael was a Rasha, but it's written that Yishmael at the end of his life did tshuva. But otherwise, we name only after good people, because the name makes a connection with the neshama. Now, I was so moved by this thought that it was in 1985 the book came out, so this was before, let's say in 83, 84 when I was writing it, I didn't have a computer, and I took out the page from the typewriter, and I wanted to write the word neshama in Hebrew, and when I wrote the word neshama, my mouth dropped open, because what are the two middle letters in the word neshama? Shin and Mem, shame. So in the word itself, which I never thought about until I was writing it, until in the word itself, neshama, you have the idea of the name. That's the connection between the two neshamas. As a matter of fact, then it occurred to me, so what's the nun and the hey on the outside? The nun and the hey is the Ner Hashem. Ner Hashem nishmas Adam, and then somebody showed it to me that that's what the Zohar HaKadosh says. So in other words, the name is the essence of the person, that's the essence of the neshama, and that's the Ner Hashem and the Nishmas Adam. As a matter of fact, we find, before we talk about our own names, let's see what the Torah tells us about names, that Vayitzer Hashem Elokim and Adam Kol Chayas Asara, the Pasuk tells us in Bereishis Beis Yutes, that Hashem created all the animals and all the birds. Vayove Ela Adam Liris Mayikra Loi. He brought the animals and the birds to Adam, the Adam should name them. Vachol HaShayikra Loi Ha'adam Nefesh Chaya Hu Shemoi. Anything that the name that Adam Arishan gave, that was the essence of what it was. In other words, we call a zebra, but a zebra could have been an elephant or a giraffe or a monkey. What makes a monkey? It could have been called a tiger, could have been called a lion. And but when Adam Arishan gave a name, that defined it. And the Medrash gives us two magnificent examples. For example, the word Aryeh, lion. Why is the lion called an Aryeh in Lashon Kodesh? Because Aryeh has the Oseis Yud and Hey in it. Yud and Hey is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like Hashem is king of the world, the lion is the king of the jungle. That's why he's called Aryeh. And the Medrash then explains about Chamor. Chamor is the simplest and the dumbest of all the animals. It's Chomer, it's just matter. It's just an animal that's, in a sense, just put together, but it doesn't have any wisdom. And some say that it comes from Chomer Sa'arim, a weight of, a measurement of weight that it carries. That's why a Chamor is called a Chamor. As a matter of fact, he says, the Klei Yochar says something absolutely incredible. It says, Adam named his wife Chava. When did he name her Chava? He didn't name her when he was first introduced to her. It was only after the Chait that he named her Chava. And he said, Ki hi hoisa ein kol chai. She was the mother of all living beings. If that's the case, if you look it up in Bereishis Gimel Chof, that's where he writes this, the Klei Yochar, he should have named her Chaya. He said she was the Ein Kol Chai, she was the mother of all living beings. Why did he call her Chava? Listen to this, what the Klei Yochar says. Chava comes from the Aramaic word Chivya, which means snake. And she was the one that brought death into the world because she listened to what the Nachash said. So after the Chait, that's when he named her Chava. The Klei Yochar says Chava's original name was Chaya. That's really what her name was. But then it was switched later because of that Avera that she did, so there would always be a reference to that through her name. And we find the most incredible thing. A number of years ago, some of you know that I had the opportunity with my dear son-in-law, Hananya Kramer, who has this company, Kol-Ram, and we put together a CD-ROM. It's called Design a Perfect and Miraculous Workings of the Human Body. Anybody who calls me, I'll be happy to send it to you free. It's gratis. Somebody sponsored it. And we interviewed literally across America from doctors to talk about the human body and to learn the godless habere. And we spoke about every part of the body, the eyes, the ears, the throat, the lungs, the spleen, everything except urology and obstetrics. Obviously, you can't talk about that, Barabim. And this was going to all schools. There were people who sponsored them. Over 40,000 of these CD-ROMs have gone out free all over the world. But when I was doing this, I noticed an incredible thing about Lashon HaKodesh, which I never noticed before, and that is that every part of the human body has a double and a triple meaning. Again, only in Lashon HaKodesh. You know, this is a hand, but it could have been a foot, it could have been a nose. What makes this a hand? But in Hebrew, watch this. How do you say liver in Hebrew? Kaved. What is the heaviest organ in the body? Not the ribs, not the heart, but the liver is the heaviest organ in the body. That's why it's called kaved. Yad is begamatria 14. You take a look, you got 14 joints here. 3, 6, 9, 12, 13, 14. Your ayin. Why is your eye called an eye? In English, it could have been called a nose or a mouth. But ayin is a mayon. Mayon, it's a wellspring. It's always wet. It always has tears. If Chas V'Shalom, somebody's eyes are dry and he doesn't have tears, then he has to get teardrops. He has to get these drops from the pharmacy because the eyes always have to be lubricated. Oizen, why is the oizen? Why is an ear called an oizen? Mosnayim, because it comes from the weight, the balance rather. If, for example, the cochlea in the inner ear is out of sync, then a person can lose his balance. So one of my favorites is the Shane, the dentist. A few from dentists said remarkable things. Why are teeth called Shane or Shinayim? So one said because you get two sets, Shinayim. So that's why they're called, you know, Shinayim teeth. I mean, some people have three, but that's not natural, right? Okay. And then one dentist said something brilliant. He said it comes from Shinui. Shinui means to change. What changes the composure of food so that you should be able to swallow it? You can't swallow a steak. You can't swallow a piece of cake even. You have to chew it up. So that comes from Shinui. But one doctor told me something incredible. Dr. Irving Leibovitz, a just incredible thing. He said as follows. He said that the Gemara says that piv v'liboy shoven. Your mouth and your heart have to be the same. You cannot be a faker. That which you say with your mouth, you have to believe with your heart. And that which you believe with your heart, you say with your mouth. So he says, lev is begamatria 32. How many teeth does a person have? 32. That's piv v'liboy shoven. His mouth and his heart are the same. Lev is begamatria 32. And piv, a person has 32 teeth. But then he said a remarkable thing. The latest medical studies show that those people that have gum problems usually end up with cardiac problems. Isn't that incredible? So that's what the Gemara is telling us on a deeper level. Piv v'liboy shoven, a person who has disease in the gums, eventually is going to have cardiac problems. So I went to my Rebbe Rav David Cohen and I said to him, what about dam and dumim, money and blood? Is there any connection? So he said, yeah, they both circulate. And then he said, also, it's hard to get people to donate either one of them. So now, why do we name Ad HaBris? And the reason why we name Ad HaBris is because we find that Avram Avinu, V'lo Yikari Oyd HaShimcha Avram, V'lo Yashimcha Avraham, they wish to added the letter Hey and gave him a new name at the Bris. But not only that, right before the Bris, the Torah tells us that Hashem says to Avram Avinu, Sorai Yishtecha, Lo Yitzikra Shema Sorai, her name is no longer going to be Sorai, Ki Sorah Shema. So before the Bris, Hashem changed not only Avram's name, but he changed Sarai's name, and in both cases he used the letter Hey. And I was wondering, why Dafka the letter Hey? After all, if you gave it to Avram, there's another 21 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Why couldn't Hashem choose one of the other letters? And I believe I know the answer. And the answer, I think, is as follows. The Gemara tells us, in Menachos Choftesim and Beis, Eile told us Hashemayim Ba'aretz Behi Barom. This is the history of the world when it was created. So the Gemara says, don't read it Behi Barom, but Behei Barom. The world was created with a Hey. So there are two pshat. And what does it mean the world was created with a Hey? So if you think about it, this is the Medrash explains, that every letter in the Jewish alphabet, you need a different part of the mouth to say. The Sephardi here will tell you that you need ches, you need a throat to be able to say the ches properly. You have no throat, you're not saying the ches. If you don't have teeth, shin. If you don't have teeth, you can't say shin. You have to say, you need teeth. You need a tongue to say lamed, right? But the only letter that you don't need any part of the mouth, hey, just breathe it out, hey. You don't need lips, you don't need anything, just a voice. Hey, just breathe it out. So that's what it means, that Hashem created the world with a hey. It was so simple for Hashem to do it. But I believe the answer is a different thing. The answer, why Avram Avinu and Sarai got a hey? Because the Gemara Menachos tells us, hey, the world is like a hey. If you can picture it in your mind, hey has no floor. A person can fall all the way down to the bottom. There's no end to how low a person can fall. But a person has to know that that little door is open for tshuva. That's what the hay is. That's why both Avram Avinu, Avram who was Makarev, all the men, and he brought them to Yiddishkeit. And Sarah Imenu brought all the women to Akaras HaBayre. They got the hay because they brought these people to Tshuva. Now, if that's the case, if one letter can make such a difference in the name, that's why Avram and Sarah both had to have the hay. And if that's the case, so now we see something from the Tur Arachayim that you would think a Chassidish Rebbe said it, but it's just incredible. It's written in the Tur Arachayim, Simen Kufta Zvov. What is the Brach of Tshuva in Shemay Nesra? Hashivenu, it's the fifth one, number hay, right? Hashivenu begins with a hay, and it ends with a hay. Baruch Atah Hashem HaRoitzeh B'Tshuva. He says hay in the beginning, hay at the end. The 5 and 5 is 10, that's Aseres Yimei Tshuva. So every single letter in a Jewish name is exceptionally significant, as we will now see. So, Darizal tells us an amazing thing. Darizal says, Shekol Hashem HaShabaholam, every single one of us here that has a Jewish name. By the way, Shem is a gematria 340, and the word Sefer is also a book, is Begamatria 340, because your name is a book. It's a whole story, how you got your name, why you got your name, who you were named for, and the significance of the name. So, the Arizal writes that every name, Sheba'olam, ain't a mikra, it just didn't happen. You weren't just Tam named after a Zayda, after a Baba, after an aunt, after an uncle. There is a certain Ruach HaKodesh that people are blessed with when they give their child a name. It just doesn't happen by itself. A person is given a name because the Eibishter put that Ruach HaKodesh in a person. And I see it so many times by Brits, and people pick out a name and they think that they're naming after someone, and all of a sudden it's a gematria or something. It's just unbelievable. I mean, just last week, a fellow named the baby on Hanukkah, I think it was Avram David, and then he wanted I should look up the gematrias of the name, and it came out, this was in Hanukkah, Ze'or Godel, something like that. Ze'or Godel, you'll see, or Godel. It was incredible. He's not even such a frum guy. But he felt, Rabbi, tell me the gematria of the name. What does it mean? And then Avram David, he came out on Hanukkah, that gematria. So listen to this. I have a dear friend who's a machanach. Very, very close friend. And his wife was expecting the third or fourth child. And all of a sudden, the doctor called in the wife. And he had taken certain tests. He said, you got to bring your husband in. And she knew already that there was something wrong. When the doctor says that the husband has to be, because he doesn't want to tell the news to the wife alone. And he tells him that this child that they're expecting is going to be born, Rahmana Litzlan, with spina bifida, which is, in the worst case scenario, that the child will be paralyzed all his life. He could be born with water on his brain, and he'll be in a wheelchair all his life. And Nebuch, they took numerous tests over the months, and sure enough, each test confirmed it, and when the baby was born, Taka, he was born with that terrible, terrible condition. They couldn't have the bris right away. I don't have to tell you that the parents were absolutely devastated. And now the shaila was, they couldn't do the bris right away. The shaila was, what name do you give such a child? And he had heard from the stipler that when a child is born with a challenge, especially something so serious as that, they should name the child Baruch, which is blessing. And he already had a daughter, Bracha, so he was not so happy naming a boy Baruch if he had a sister, another daughter named Bracha. He called his Rosh Hashira, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky. And Shmuel Kamenetsky said, I also heard that the stipler said that, and that's what you should do. But he wasn't so happy with it. But okay, it was going to be a few weeks yet till the bris, and then one Erev Shabbos, the bris was going to be the following Thursday, one Erev Shabbos, he comes into shul, he's very despondent, he comes in early, he just pulls the sefer off the shelf, it was Parsha Shlach, he happens to pull off the sefer Rav Sham Shafol Hirsch on Chumash, and he opens it up in the beginning of Shlach, and Rav Sham Shafol Hirsch asks this kasha, why did Moshe Rabbeinu only change the name of Yeshua? If Moshe Rabbeinu had an inkling that the Meraglim were going to say something bad, he should have changed everybody's name, or at least Yeshua and Kalev. Obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu had a certain sensitivity that something was going to happen here. Why did he change only Yeshua? So Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky says a big chiddush. Moshe Rabbeinu felt that Yeshua is going to be such a role model that he will influence all the other 11 spies. He's going to be the role model. So this fellow, this machanach, says, you know what? He's going to name his son Yeshua because his son is going to be the inspiration for every child in America, every Jewish child that is born with a challenge. They will see how I'm going to make this child the happiest child of all. He'll be a role model. And he comes home and he tells his wife, you know, I think we should name the baby Yeshua, and he'll be a role model for any kid that has any serious condition in America. And she's masking. The bris is supposed to be Thursday, Tuesday night. His father calls him up. He says, did you decide on the name? He said, yeah. He says, does your wife have a chiyuv? He says, no. He said, but you have a chiyuv. says, I have a chiyuv. What chiyuv do I have? He says, you got to name him after Uncle Bernie. So what do you mean after Uncle Bernie? He said, well, Bernie died, you know, Bernie died a few months ago, and there's nobody named after him. He said, you know, Uncle Bernie was a nice guy, but, you know, like, I wasn't that close to him, and why do I have to name? He says, by the way, what was Bernie's name? And the father tells him, Yeshua Baruch. Could you imagine? Now, I was at the bar mitzvah of Yeshua Baruch in his wheelchair. I've seen him run down the hill where he lives with that wheelchair faster than all the kids in the class. The kid is the happiest possible kid that you could imagine. He just graduated high school recently. An amazing child, but you see how that name, Yeshua Baruch, was given in a sense with Ruach HaKodesh. As we said, the Gemara says, Shema Gorim, a name has an influence. And you know, I want to tell you a very sad story. The Ponovitch Rav once was speaking to the Kapishin Tzereba, and the Kapishin Tzereba told him, and this is Taken Tamei Amen Hogim, and it says over there that a person should not name children Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And we would be surprised by that, right? We would have thought that that would be something that would be, you know, a tremendous mazel. But it turns out that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, I don't know, maybe it's because it's an Indian of an Ayin Hara, but whatever, the Ponovitch Rav had children, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, one of them passed away. And when the Ponovitch Rav told him that this is a bad mazel to have three children named Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the Ponovitch Rav told him that he had never heard of that. Now, I'll tell you a very interesting story. I have a friend, his name is Rabbi Slatus, Avigdor Slatus, a tremendous Rav down in Georgia, in Savannah, in Georgia, in America. And he told me that the only reason he went down there was because the Satmar Rebbe had given him a bracha. He's a boy who learned in Mir Yeshiva, but his family had a shaykhus to Satmar, and the question was, should he go down? It was Mamash and Midbar in Savannah, but the Rebbe said he gave him a bracha that would have atzlocha. And sure enough, he went, and he was very, very matzliach. So years later, when the Rebbe passed away, so he wanted to name his baby Yoel after the Rebbe, and Levi after a Zayda. So he called the Satmar Rebbe that was living at the time, and he said, could he do that? And the Rebbe said, no. He said, why not? Listen to this. And again, this is not a psak halacha for everyone. This is only a psak halacha for Satmar Chassidim. And again, you have to ask a Rav, a Rebbe, or a Rosh Hashiva before you name. But listen to what he said. The Rebbe said, Satmar Rebbe said, that you cannot name a child with the first name has the same last letter as the first letter of the second name. So if you can name him Yoel and Levi, the neshamas will get confused and mixed together. Because Yoel ends with a lamed, and Levi begins with a lamed. So you're not allowed to name a child with those two names, where the end of the first one is the same as the... So he said, I'll do Yoel Levi. He said, you can't do that either. Or Levi Yoel. Why? Because Levi Yoel he can't do, because Levi ends with a yud, and Yoel begins with a yud. Now, we know that the vision to Rebbe is of Chaim Meir. Right? So Chaim is obviously the vicious that don't hold of that. And how many girls do we know that are Rochel Leah? Rochel and Leah. And the Vaditchiva, Rab Levi Yitzchok. So again, that's a sensitivity in Satmar. But you see that there's a sensitivity. One of the stories that I can never forget, I once came into a non-Frum family. And I asked, and you know, early on a Sunday morning. And they didn't, believe me, they didn't know a name for their child. But I knocked on the door and I hear a dog barking. And somebody on the other side says, Shlomo, get down. And I was wondering, like, how could that be? I mean, they don't even have a Jewish name. How could their dog be named Shlomo? I thought for sure I heard wrong. As I'm about to start the bris, the dog walks in and he's rubbing against my knee. And I said, you know, this is not a way to do the bris. Could you get the dog out of here? She says, Shlomo, get out. I couldn't believe it. So afterwards, I came over to the lady. I said, excuse me, I hope you don't mind my asking, but you know, you didn't even have a Jewish name for your child. How did your dog get a name like Shlomo? She says, Rabbi, you can see that we're not religious. I said, yeah, I can see that. She says, but the first religious experience my husband and I had, we were in Kent State University, and Shlomo Kalbach gave a concert. So in his honor, we named the dog after him. So you will never have a dog named after you. One of the most incredible names I had once was a guy tests me, Rabbi, I'm going to name a child that you have never heard this name. I said, what are you naming? Christopher? I mean, you know, like, you know, again, these were not from people. He said, no, I'm going to name my child Justin. I said, Justin, I know a lot of people named Justin. He said, no, the middle name. It's hard to believe. But he actually named the middle name of this child Time. He named his kid Justin Time. Now my father was a Moyle before me, and every Moyle can tell you these stories. So my father once had a bris, and the guy was not from, and he asked the father, what's your Jewish name? He said, I don't know. He said, is your father here? Yeah. So he asked the father, he said, what did you name your son? when he had the Bris Yeshiva's rabbis 35 years ago. I don't remember what he named him. So my father asked the son, he said, maybe you had a Zayda who came from Europe. And maybe, what did he call you? Oh, yeah, my Zayda. I remember what he called me. What's that? Meshuggah. That's what he called me. And then my father once had a situation where he said to the guy, why don't you go to the place where he's buried and you read the Hebrew, you know, what it says on the stone. So the fellow comes back the day of the bris. He says, yeah, we can name my child Tintzeva. That was the only thing that he had. Now the question is, who has the right to the name? And I want to be very emphatic about this. Grandparents do not have a right to name a child. You want to name a child, go out and have another one. Do not put any pressure on your children. Anybody who's old enough to have a child is old enough to name them. Listen to what happened once. The night before bris, I get a call from a father. He's frantic. He says, Rabbi, who should I make Sandik? My father or my father-in-law? I said, well, let's figure it out. Your father, has he ever been Sandik before? He said, yeah, many times. And the family, what about your father-in-law? No, on my wife's side, this is the first Einikol. I said, doesn't it make sense that your father-in-law should be Sandik? He said, that's what I thought. But then my father just called me 5 minutes ago. He said the baby came to him in a dream and told him he wants it to be Sandik. Imagine that. I mean, even if the guy has, I said, what language did he speak in? So what pressure? No grandparent has a right whatsoever. It causes so much pain and so much aggravation in the young couple. And I can tell you, as a grandparent, my mother passed away just about 2 years ago. Okay, so Baruch Hashem, I have two Eniklaf that are named Hindi after my mother. But there were other children in the family, not my kids, but nephews and nieces. For whatever reason, they wanted to change the name, and it's very painful. It's very painful. This was their Bobby. How could they use a name because they didn't like the Yiddish name Hindi? They use Ayala or something else because Ayala is a deer and Hindul is a deer. It's ridiculous. It's not named after the person. If you can't use the exact name, use as many of the letters, but to translate it into a different thing is no connection whatsoever. But can't say anything. Certainly an uncle or an aunt is going to go say something, but names are a very sensitive issue, and that's why a person has to be so careful. So who has the right to the name? So, by Ashkenazim, usually the mother has the right to the first name because the first child is usually comes with difficult labor, so in reference to that, you give that name to the mother. Or sometimes the parents of the wife are supporting the young couple. But by Sephardim, the men have the right to everything. First boy, first girl, it's always the same. They have the right. Now, the question is, this is a shaila that comes up very often. What happens if somebody died young? What does it mean, died young? Are you allowed to name after somebody who died young? So this was a shaila in my family. My father passed away when he was 47. And Rav Moshe writes something that every mile and every one of us should know. Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuvas, and he says like this, that in case, in Igos Moshe Simon Kuf Chav Beis Yerdei Chelik Beis, in case a person died, it makes no difference what age he died. If he died of illness, cancer, whatever it is, but he was married and he had children, it's not Reya Mazlei. It's not a bad mazel. You could name, even if a person died under 60, which my father died at 47. Others obviously hold differently. But Rav Moshe, and you could go by this psak, if somebody died a natural death, not Chas V'Shalom that he was killed in a very painful, difficult way. But a person died a natural death and nobody lives forever. A person dies of illness and they were married and they had children. They fulfilled their tafkid in the world. And Rav Moshe says, Shlomo HaMelech died at 52, Shmuel died at 52, Chizkiah died at 54. So what happens now if, let's say, that a person is forced to use a certain name? Sometimes parents do mix in and a person is forced to use a different name and they don't like to use that name for whatever reason. So what Rav Moshe says is they should have a minded tzaddik that had that name. And Rav Moshe writes, it's incredible. He says, you can even name after him. You can name after a tzaddik that's alive. So if somebody had to use Moshe because, and he was about tshuva, and they wanted to name after grandfather Moshe, but the man wasn't from, so they don't want to use that name for whatever reason. So Rav Moshe says, have in mind the name Moshe. Have in mind a tzaddik by that name. Or have you have to use Shlomo, have in mind Rav Shlomo Zalman. For whatever reason, always use, think of the name of a tzaddik. So Rabbi Reisman in Tervet Das tells over this story. He's the head of the Kollel. He's the one who has this great cheer of 1,000 people, even more every Motzei Shabbos on Tanakh. So he tells over a young man in this Kollel had a boy. And somehow he didn't get along with his grandfather. Grandfather was a little bit of a nasty person. But he was feeling pressure to name after the grandfather. So let's say his name was Chavei Zalman, just for example. So, and when the Moel said, V'kor Shema B'Yisrael, when the Rob said, V'kor Shema B'Yisrael, he bedavka had, this is not after my grandfather, this is after Rabbi Shlomo Zalman. Right after the bris, his grandmother comes over to him, says, oh my dear, you named the baby after Zaini, that's so nice! And she gives him a check for $500. So he goes to Rabbi Reisman, and he says, can I cash this check? I bedavka had in mind that it's not after him. So he calls Rapam, and Rapam says, Rabbi Reisman, you got to tell the young man, he can't cash the check. Because he had in mind Dafka, just the opposite. So 2 months later, his bubby calls him up. She says, you know, I was doing my books. I see you didn't cash the check. Is everything okay? He says, no, I didn't want to think that I'm, you know, buying the name. So that's why, you know, you gave me money because you said I named after Zaidi. I don't want to buy the name. No, I was going to give it to you anyway. He calls Rabbi Reisman right away. Rabbi Reisman calls Rapam. Rapam says, she said she was going to give it anyway. In a moment, if that's okay, he cashed the check the next day. I just want to tell over something that I said over last night about names. It's one of the greatest stories you'll ever hear. We were talking about the Satmar Rebbe. The Satmar Rebbe, his name was Yoel. He was once collecting money for a moysed, and somebody gave him $47, and the Rebbe said, what's this? What's 47? He said, Rebbe, it's your name, Yoel. So the Rebbe said, Nahim Flik Mechifin Yoelish. In the old country, they called him Yoelish. So you could be sure that guy had to pay the extra yuchin, extra $310. So I just want to end with this. Of course, this is a whole talk, and we can talk for hours on names. So I'll just tell you this thing. What does it mean, the significance of names, the gematrias? This is absolutely incredible. About a couple years ago, I went to be Menachem Mobile, a woman whose her father was a Moel. So I didn't really know her, but I knew her father. But I figured, good, I'll go be Menachem Mobile. And I'm sitting there, I had no idea that her husband is incredible in gematrias. I didn't really know him. So he says to me, do you know all the Balaturims on Bris Mila? I said, I think I do. I wrote a Sefer on Bris Mila. I think I went through all the Balaturims. He said, well, there's one in Sefer Bereishis, right in the beginning of the Torah. I said, which one is that? And I couldn't believe it. I thought I didn't know it. Now watch this. The Es Ha'or Ki Toiv. And the light that it is good. Es is a Tof at the end. Ha'or is a Reish. Ki is a Yud. Toiv is a Beis. Beis, Reish, Yud, Tov, Bris. The light that is good is Bris. I said, wow, that's amazing. I didn't even know that. He said, I'm not finished with you. He says, Ve'es ha'or ki toiv. I know you're not going to believe it. I didn't believe it. I checked it 40 times. He said, Ve'es ha'or ki toiv is begamatria. Exactly. Pesach, Yosef, Krom. Could you believe? Not with a koilo, not with an extra letter. Exactly. Could you believe that? Could my parents have known that I was going to be a moil? Ve'es ha'or ki toiv is begamatria. Exactly. Pesach, Yosef, Krom. It's just incredible. Maybe she should help that all of us, that those people that we were named after should be a schus for their neshama, a schus for our neshamas. And again, I thank you all for inviting me, and I thank you for listening. Have a great day.